Commodity Week is made possible with support from AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialists. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting Regional Sales Manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for representative nearest you. Commodity Week is a production of listener-supported public radio at the University of Illinois. To learn more, visit us online at will.uiuc.edu.
USDA increased the size of the corn crop by some 250 million bushels this week, and corn still managed a nickel rally. We'll try to find out if there is any other dime or more left to the upside in that market and others today on Commodity Week. Welcome to Commodity Week. I'm Todd Gleason. Later in this half hour, we'll talk with John Roach of Roach Ag Marketing. Our panelists today are Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group and Bridget Chinoweth of AgriVisor LLC.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, let's open today's discussion with this question. Soybean futures rallied 50 cents this week. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday were particularly good days. Has the price increased enough yet to compensate for the lower carryover projected by USDA Wednesday morning? And we'll just let you answer in order. We'll start with Dan Zwicker and move on to Bridget Chinoweth.
Well, the market put in a good up day there after the report, and we spent a day there in consolidation there on Thursday. But Friday, the market went ahead and resumed its upside. So I think the market, while it has compensated, I think, from for USDA's lower-than-expected soybean production number, is still thinking that it may have to go on higher yet. Thinking that maybe USDA might be a shade high. We haven't heard that many soybean yields yet. They've been kind of mixed anywhere from 15 bushels on some dry land soil in the southern sections to 60 in the better growing areas. But I think the trade's going to kind of watch real careful what kind of bean yields we do here to see whether or not it does need to go higher.
And that's Dan Zwicker. Bridget Chinoweth?
I absolutely agree. I think there's, you know, still a lot of production uncertainties, like Dan said. We aren't really sure where those yields are going to come in. I think there's also some uncertainty about how much soybeans are actually going to be produced down in Brazil and how much of that actually gets put into soybeans rather than corn. So that could leave some upside potential if not all those acres get planted.
Here's how the September 12th reports came in from USDA. Crop production for soybeans, a 2.619 billion bushel crop. At a 41.4 bushel to the acre average, the carryover for 07-08, the ending stocks there, at 215 million. Soybeans this week at a high of 944, their low in the September at 890 and three quarters. They settled 50 cents higher at $9.41, and November beans at 954 and three quarters were up 49 and a half cents for the week. Over time, Dan, how do you expect the soybean market to play out as we head into the winter season?
Well, let's take the fall first. I think, at least in the near term here, all of the technical indicators do suggest that November soybeans can maybe march on its way onto the $10 level. The market is getting a little bit overbought, but after this past week's action, I think most technicians are going to look at this $10 level. Probably at that point in time, if we do need to go on into that level, the market is poised, I think, then to maybe set back. A lot of that will depend upon South American planting progress, what kind of weather patterns they have. There's indications that it may be drier on the long term because of the La Nina weather pattern. Does look like it is taking hold. So there is some expected dry weather patterns that's probably expected to come in there during the growing season. But there is some rainy spells right now, some planting delays going on in some areas. But I think you have to kind of see how that South American crop comes on. I do think that current price levels have bought soybean acres for the coming year. But the market still, I think, needs to get fairly comfortable on a South American production number.
Comfortable on South America production, he says, Bridget, and $10 might do that, I suppose. Can you see a $10 bean?
I do. I mean, I think that could be in the future. Like you said, we still have a lot of uncertainties here in the near term. I think we could continue to see a little bit of strength, especially if we get the November contract to close over the 960 mark, and that could open the door to some more additional upside potential. Cyclically, we're looking for a cycle low to kind of come due, 16 to 18 week cycle low to come due in about mid-December.
Tell me about the ground borer that we've talked about. Yeah, are we done with that at this point? We still working on the ground borer in terms of buying acres for wheat, buying acres for soybeans. Did we change things on Wednesday with the numbers that came out from USDA and the large crop that we have for corn and the potential less demand that's coming out of ethanol?
I think we did. We have accomplished buying, like Dan said, some of those additional soybean acres going into 2008. I definitely think that we're going to see some additional wheat acres planted going into this phenomenal prices we've seen here in the past week, I think, has managed to capture that.
Let's go on to the wheat. September had a high this week of 887 and three quarters, or low at 815. Settlement price down two at 838. July futures and 587 and a half settlement price up six. A new contract high again this week, Dan, in the wheat futures, all-time high. That's, I don't know how many weeks in a row that managed to pull that off, but that's a new contract high, and then they settled back.
Yeah, and technically one probably has to be a little worried at the wheat market, the way it performed this past week, because we did have, I think, some panic buying going into USDA's report, thinking that the Australian wheat crop might come in at 15 or 13 million metric tons, and that's been the main focus here over the past week or two. USDA only brought it down to like 21 million, so I think that was kind of like, probably viewed a little disappointing. After a firm open there on Wednesday, the market did turn around and settle back. We saw some profit taking. I think a lot of traders thought that was maybe about all they could get out of it in the short run. We did see some good follow through there on Thursday. So I do think the wheat market is vulnerable in here, but we did have a nice little recovery there on Friday, so it looks like maybe the reversal down was kind of, at least the brakes were put on it initially. We'll have to kind of see what happens next week. But the new crop July wheat had a reversal down the prior week, did follow through here this past week, but I think there's probably room for some consolidation, at least in the near term.
Bridge of July wheat down six at 587.5 for the week. Producers will have made some decisions about putting more crop in the ground this fall. Do they need to cover the additional acres?
I think that we're about 25% on our new crop sales is what we're looking at right now.
Dan, what do you think they have to do?
Well, I think if the producers, and I think this goes for any decisions made based upon what the market is signaling the producer to do at this particular time, I think if a producer is going to switch based upon these market signals, they have to go forward and do some locking in. Now, they can maybe use a minimum price contract if they're a little uneasy doing a straight cash forward sale. But they could at least put on some downward price protection as we go forward. If they're not going to switch their acreage base, I think based upon market signals this early, I would recommend them to kind of stay put in their acreage base. But if they're going to start moving acres around and start getting committed to a change in their normal rotation pattern, I think they need to go ahead and start locking some of that stuff in.
Wednesday morning, the USDA numbers look like this for crop production in corn, 13.308 billion bushels. couple of things. Last year, we raised a 10.535 billion bushel crop, and the August estimate was at 13.054, so about 250 million more in this estimate than last month for the corn. USDA now says that the average national yield is 155.8 bushels to the acre, and that we'll have an ending stocks for corn at 1.675 billion bushels. Can the crop grow? Because a big crop, Bridget, generally gets bigger as we go into October.
I think it most certainly can. I know all the yield reports that I've heard thus far coming out of the fields have been, you know, way above expectations. And, if we continue to hear those growing yields when we go into the northern Midwest, this crop could continue to grow.
Were you impressed by the nickel that they managed to put on this week, despite the bigger number?
It was pretty impressive considering, you know, we're starting to get in the glut of harvest and that seasonal pressure should be starting to take hold.
Well, a lot of corn strength here is coming from unwinding of the long wheat short corn spread. So I think this week's nickel advance might be somewhat misleading. I think overall, though, the pattern remains sideways. And, you know, if you look at the December chart, we've been up to 371, 372 a couple times. We've been down to 325, 324 a couple times. And we're pretty close to the middle part of that mid-range. And the corn yields, at least what we've heard so far in Illinois, would lead one to believe that the Illinois yield's going up a couple bushels. That alone, I think, is 100 million bushels. So I think nationally it'd be very easy to see that overall national average yield maybe climb toward 160. That would maybe add another 300 million bushels to the production number. All of a sudden, then your carryout is maybe pushing to 2 billion bushels. And if that's the case, then the market, we could afford to lose acres of corn next year to soybeans or wheat. Now, to what magnitude, we'll have to wait and see in that. But the comfort level and the need to buy corn acres this fall, which was the conventional wisdom here a month or two ago, I think is that argument definitely took a pretty good hit here this week with these yield reports that we're hearing, at least in Illinois. And if the yields are that strong in Iowa, coming out of Iowa, the number one, number two corn states, this production number is going higher.
So I think Illinois picked up 2 bushel the acre in this last report. Iowa picked up 3. They went to 180 and 183 respectively. How much higher can they go? Do you agree? Can they go higher?
I do absolutely agree. Like Dan said, you know, these yields are coming in above expectations, and that's just here that we're hearing here. Here we're hearing here in Illinois, and if nationally those yields are all coming in above average, we can, you know, definitely pick up some additional bushels.
Well, how big can the crop get in total yield size? We're at 13.3 billion now. How much bigger do you think we could go? Do you have a guess?
Not right now.
Dan?
Well, like I said, I'll start with 2 bushels, and that'll add.
That's your opening bid, I think.
Yeah, that's my opening bid anyway, and that adds 160 million. You know, somewhere in that deal, and I think we'll have to see what the October number says. Now, the thing that a lot of times will throw the trade a curveball is that October report. That is notorious for acreage adjustments up or down. And I think, you know, there's a lot of corn around. We may see the corn acres go up some. We may see soybean acres go down or vice versa. So we'll have to, but at least the yield reports that we have heard are very, very strong and does warrant probably some upward adjustment in production.
You know, you talked about, I think, a 50 cent or thereabout trading range on either side. We'll use 350 as the, or 325 as the middle mark, I guess. Where do you want to use the middle mark?
About 350.
About 350 is the middle mark.
Yeah, 348 or so.
About 350 is the middle mark. If you take beans to $10 and you have a big increase, you keep continuing this increase we talked about. We add the two bushel to the national average. Where does corn go? Does it follow the beans despite the fact that they've got an increase?
Well, fundamentally, you could probably argue that we don't need to take beans to $10 if the argument is to buy acres in the U.S. Because we do have now this cushion in corn, so we can afford to lose some corn acres, and the ratio already favors soybeans to start with. So fundamentally, there's a reason that we could say that maybe the bean market might stall out and not hit the $10 area. I think that is going to depend upon, I think, though, we probably need to see the October crop report numbers. We need to see the final acreage adjustments that usually USDA makes in October. And then that'll give us a good idea what's happening in South America.
What do you do on the cash side at this point? I mean, I suppose not what do you do, but what happens to the cash market as we go through the harvest season? Does it start to fade dramatically?
I think we're going to definitely see some weakening, you know, during this time period, especially in corn. The basis levels have not been very stellar here. I think we're going to continue to see some softening going into the harvest months. And then after we get through the glut of harvest, we may see a little bit firmer prices.
I'm just amazed that you could talk about just some softening in the cash basis if you've got that much corn. The infrastructure surely can't handle it.
Well, actually, this week you've seen some improvement in basis levels. That is an indication that at least this early harvesting is telling you that farmers are storing that and or applying that to previous contracts. So no new selling is entering the marketplace. So what we're seeing here with the basis firming a little bit in some areas, this is the time of year that exporters, world buyers begin to get interested. The next 2 weeks, if you look at average seasonal tendencies on corn, are about as dominant to the downside as you're going to find out of a 52-week period. And if corn prices don't soften during the last couple of weeks of September, then you begin to argue that something is different than what you would expect, you know, maybe here a month ago. But so I think but as time goes on, I think once farmers meet their cash forward sale commitments, once their home storage bins maybe get full, and then you begin to maybe see some forced selling as harvest goes on, then you could maybe begin to see that basis widen again toward the tail end of harvest.
Just one final question here. Is the something that's different that he talked about, is that the USDA didn't project ethanol production or usage correct, or do you have something else in mind? I mean, if you're not talking about the basis level really folding under this kind of pressure, there must be a good reason why. Yeah? No? Maybe I'm just chasing the wrong tail? I don't know.
I'm not really sure on that one.
Well, my guess is if we don't start going down and that normal seasonal pattern of showing the decline in the last couple of weeks of September into an early October type low, then that maybe would indicate that, yes, the yields are good, but maybe we don't have as many acres out there as what we think we do, so therefore the crop may not be as big as what we think. And or there's been a vacuum in the underlying demand. There's been some world buyers waiting around to try to buy this stuff cheaper, that the prices were too high all through the summer months, never really wanted to buy this stuff at $3.50 or $4 during the summer months. But now time has come. Combines are rolling. If the combines are rolling, you need to get in here and get this stuff bought. So one really doesn't know what it's going to be. We may shift into a wetter type October weather pattern. There's a lot of unknowns out there. There's a lot of things could change that could maybe fuel this thing higher or fuel it or at least minimize the decline that you normally see in the last couple weeks of September.
Here's how the livestock numbers at the Mercantile Exchange finished for the week. The October live cattle had a high of 96.25. They're low at 94.47.5. Settled 85 lower at 95.25. Feeder cattle for the October at 116.82.5 were down $1.50. October lean hogs settled at 65.55. They were off 75 with a top of 67.30 and a bottom at 65.05. In 2 minutes, we'll talk with John Roach of Roach Ag Marketing.
I'm Steve Hilberg with the Midwestern Regional Climate Center, located at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. The weather went from summer to fall rather quickly this week as cool, dry air spilled south through Illinois and the Midwest. The colder air spread southeast through the state early this week. By Thursday morning, temperatures were in the 40s throughout Illinois, even into the low 40s in southern Illinois. Temperatures rose into the 80s again on Thursday before another cold front came through and knocked temperatures back. Average daily temperatures ranged from near normal in the southeastern quarter of Illinois to 6 to 8 degrees below normal in northwestern Illinois. Most rain this week occurred last Sunday as the front pushed south of the Ohio River. There were some scattered showers in northern Illinois in the cool air behind the front early in the week, but they were light. The cool weather, low dew points, and lack of rain provided ideal conditions for harvest activities that stepped into high gear in many areas this week. The weather will warm the third week of September as winds turn southerly across the Midwest. Afternoon temperatures will reach the 80s on a regular basis, and it will be a bit more humid. A ridge of high pressure will keep rain generally out of the picture, which should allow combines to keep rolling. The only exception may be in northern Illinois, where a few scattered showers could develop the last half of the week. For the Midwestern Regional Climate Center in Champaign, I'm Steve Hilberg.
And I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to Commodity Week. This is WILL Urbana. This is a broadcasting service of the College of Communications here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Our panelists in studio today, Bridget Chenoweth of AgriVisor LLC and Dan Zwicker of the ADM Grain Group. Our guest today is John Roach of Roach Ag Marketing. He joins us from his Boca Raton, Florida office. Hi, John.
Hi, guys.
Thanks for joining us. You know what? Tell me, as you take a look at the bigger picture across the grains floor in Chicago, corn, soybeans, and wheat, how you see those three vying out over the next 2 weeks.
Well, the interesting thing that's been happening on the floor is that the locals have been trying to get the market to roll over and go down. A couple different events here in the last 2 weeks when the locals sold early in the day, but were not able to find any friends, and they had to scramble their way back out of those short positions before the day was over. So on the floor in Chicago, people are looking for an opportunity to catch a decline.
John, I had a question for you. If this corn market would turn back lower and go softer, how low do you think this December corn contract could go?
I don't know. Bridget, I've been trying to keep a very open mind about that because I believe we're in a new price plateau brought on by food demand worldwide as well as biofuel demand. However, in that new plateau, you're going to have periods when you make a low point and a period when you make a high point. We should be making a low point for this new plateau period sometime here this harvest. We've got very large crops out there, or a very large crop out there, and carryovers are increasing. So we would expect somewhat of a low ebb here, and I think one of the things we have to do is just let the market tell us where that is.
John, what's your guess on this production based upon the yields that you're hearing?
I like what Bridget and Dan were saying earlier about a 2 bushel per acre increase. That was their opening bid. I might bump it up by a half a bushel, go to 2.5 bushel. But we have a very big crop out there. Some of the worries farmers had early on about producers not being able to get yields with continuous corn and putting corn in different areas that's not a typical corn production area, and then the problems we had with the growing season, all that's out the window because this corn crop, in fact, is very big.
How many fewer corn acres do we need next year?
I don't know. You know, there's a real question that's come into the market in the last 2 weeks about ethanol. We thought ethanol had an insatiable demand for ethanol. $80 a barrel oil, surely this ethanol will be worth a lot of money. And as it's turning out, we're not getting the money out of the ethanol that we thought we would be able to. So we're seeing the government pull its numbers down, and we're seeing traders pull the numbers down even further. With a real concern that maybe the structure right now in the energy market is such that we're just not going to be able to market the ethanol at the higher prices. Or at least that's the discussions we're seeing here in just recent days.
Taking a look at the wheat prices and bean prices and corn prices, have you come to any kind of idea of what kind of acreage switch you think is occurring, at least at the moment, especially with wheat planting here maybe only a couple, 3 weeks away?
Well, I think there'll be a lot of wheat planted. I think that farmers are going to look at planting wheat and then double cropping beans behind it as being a real opportunity, particularly if we get some more moisture into some of the dry areas. So I think we're going to have a lot of wheat. I think we'll actually get ourselves in trouble with wheat. So I think that you asked the question earlier, what should producers be doing with new crop wheat? I think they need to be in an aggressive sales program that over the period of the next 3 to 4 months, they need to have about as many bushels of that new crop wheat sold as they can be comfortable with, because price levels are going to be under a lot of pressure if we have a normal growing season.
Questions pertaining bean sales. I wonder if you considered or advised making any 2008 soybean sales.
We've made some very light sales. We had, in fact, as I had one of my subscribers write in that, you know, I'm $9 beans for 08 look awful attractive to me. The way we look at the bean market, we're in a sell signal on beans that's been lasting for 12 days. Normally, it lasts only 4 to 6 days. So we're in an extended sell signal. We have good prices out on the 08 crop. There's just nothing wrong with making some sales, some light sales, some initial new crop sales of 08 beans.
You're in a sell signal. Does that mean you don't think a $10 beans around the corner anywhere?
No, I think we could go on to $10 beans perhaps with the sell signal. I mean, we closed today with a new high close, so I think the market continues to want to push higher. But what producers need to understand is that we cycle up and then we cycle back down. So we're going to extend this cycle all the way up until we reach some sort of a peak here, and it sure could have a 10 in front of it, and then we'll cycle the market back down again. And producers need to remember that in order to stimulate corn production this last February, we took corn prices considerably higher than anybody thought they would go, and then took them down considerably further than people thought they could go once we found out how many acres had been shifted. So I think we need to be kind of cautious here that we see high prices down the road, and yet we really don't do much with those. I think that might be a mistake.
Any final bit of advice for producers in the Midwest on corn, soybeans, or wheat that you'd like to make sure that they hear from you before I let you go for the day?
I think the one thing that you want to remember is that the government gives us a price forecast on each one of their reports, and they're about as unbiased of economists as you'll find. Their price forecast for the wheat is from $5.50 to $6.10. Their forecast for soybeans is from $7.35 to $8.35, and corn it's $2.80 to $3.40. So whenever you can sell at above those kind of price levels, that traditionally is a good thing to be doing. So we would like to use strength to make sales on wheat particularly, soybeans secondarily, and then corn third. We'd really like to make most of our sales after harvest, but if we keep stimulating the market higher, we want to sell into it.
John, we appreciate you being with us.
Thank you very much.
John Roach of Roach Ag Marketing joining us from his Boca Raton, Florida office. Now, a final word from our panelists in studio. We'll start with you, Bridget Chinoweth of AgriVisor LLC.
So tell everybody to slow down and keep a close eye out for all the farm equipment. Everybody have a safe harvest.
Thank you much. And Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group.
I would second that, too. I think consumers, drivers need to be awful careful. Farmers are going to be putting in some long hours in here and be careful moving around farm equipment, and farmers themselves be very careful, too.
That's this edition of Commodity Week. I'm Todd Gleason. Be safe this harvest season.
Commodity Week is made possible with support from AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialist. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting Regional Sales Manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for representative nearest you. Commodity Week is a production of listener-supported public radio at the University of Illinois. To learn more, visit us online at will.uiuc.edu.